Adele, I have all the time on the clock to run by you hearing a summary of what is right now ongoing and unfolding at COP27, hosted in Egypt, of course, by the Egyptian president. I did give you an insight yesterday into what's happening at COP27. Well, world leaders are in Egypt once again to seek solutions to climate change challenges. And right now, they're looking to what is imperative. They are focused on at least delivering $100 billion climate fund, which of course was promised to developing economies by developed countries in one of its previous conferences. Now, yesterday I watched the speech by South African President Cyril Ramaphosa. He criticized international funders for making it difficult for poorer nations to access aid to fight climate change. According to him, developing countries and emerging economies need investment well beyond $2 trillion annually by 2030. $2 trillion annually by 2030. That's a whole lot of printed paper. Well, yeah. Speaking at the COP27 summit, he said, and I quote, "We need a clear roadmap to deliver on the Glasgow decision to double adaptation financing by 2025. What year is this? Good. So in about 3 years. So these monies are supposed to have already been coming in just so that development progresses and we're on this, on our way to a greener world. Now, remember I told you yesterday that sooner after COP's done, I would have to get a guest for and against the concept of climate change. For some, it's a reality. For others, it's a false concept. I think it's necessary that we try to weigh between what is and what isn't. Well, I'll further Ramaphosa's thought. He said, our emphasis must be on health, well-being, food, and water security of the most vulnerable people in the world. We're already scaling up investment in renewable energy and are on course to retire a number of aging coal-fired power stations. So it seems as though the first, you know, natural resource that gets the knife would be coal. Quite a number of people. I think it was, who was it yesterday? Was it Slovakia? Have made a commitment to cut off coal by 2023. They are shutting down coal 2023. And quite a number of other nations have actually ignored the old patterns and are forging ways into new energy. So, for example, Kenya is even one of them where, of course, solar system. So I remember the last time I was in Kenya, it seems as though on every rooftop, there's a solar system. So what they do, what I think happens in Kenya is that they, the electricity cost is split between what is traditional electricity and what is solar powered electricity. Yeah, it's like, well, at least the neighborhood where I was, like on every rooftop there's a solar system. And someone mentioned to me, well, that they use the solar system. I met a northerner in Kenya who says that, well, that's exactly the system he operates at home, where he uses solar system to power pumping machine, fridge, something, which almost sounded like all the appliances in his house. And he was like, well, then the your good old PHCN, I let them do it when they can do it, but pretty much I'm set up. I met a man somewhere, Lagos Island, and he told me that he is off the grid, that everything, he says he has two freezers, something, generator, pumping machine, everything is on solar. I had also a few years ago interviewed an entrepreneur who studied something at Yaba Tech, I think something within the electricals. And I think right after he was able to find his footing from university, he's pretty much just rewired his entire living system. Okay, so not just Kenya, quite a number of other countries are pretty much, Egypt is one of them for sure. But first, I want to also go to what is said to be Nigeria in all of this. Now, the UK Foreign Secretary, James Cleverly, has said at least 4 million Nigerians will benefit from the £95 million PropCon plus investment aimed at increasing productivity and adapting to the effects of climate change while at the same time reducing emissions. All of this is happening in Egypt. They say it would support the development of climate resilient agricultural policies, actions, and investments that deliver nutrition, increase productivity, adapt and build resilience while reducing emissions, and protect and restore the natural ecosystem. So at the core of all of this, traveling around the world in private jets and business class, all these meetings pretty much is just aimed at one, quote unquote, trying to reduce emissions because it's net zero. By their aim is, I think they say they're aiming net zero 2030. And then they want to restore the natural ecosystem. A conversation, of course, which, you know, Desmond is here every Wednesday talking about. What is, say, the contention at this point is Africa and all of this, where once again, Africa is going to have to wait for funding. First of all, they're even saying, I think I told you this last year, the UN and the global bodies, the big boys with the money, are saying that investment in the old electrical forms of electricity generation has to be stopped. No more funding. If there's going to be any funding, it has to be in the new, or funding for a new system. And so this new system, depending on what African country, are yet to determine what's best for them. For Nigeria, what we have, which we think is the best easy transition from, you know, fossil fuel to renewable, or something that brings us cleaner to green gas, the green system, would be gas. We believe we have just enough gas. It would certainly help our economy. It's cheaper. Yeah, but the setup, pretty much the cost of transition is where, hopefully by the end, the COP event is 2 weeks. So the guess is by the end of 2 weeks, we would know where Africa sits in all of this. We would know who has met up with their own demands and commitment, particularly monetary commitments to achieving a greener world. Fingers crossed. Okay, I'm off on a break. When we come back, our first hour, we're going to talk about decongesting the prisons and, of course, what you know to be the benefits of that. Long overdue, or you think something else of it? And then after that, we're on language and interpretations today. We're hoping to look at corporal punishment. I was studying something in my module for a South African course, and the South African system has practically made it, like, against the law to physically hit a child. Like, you can't do that. Like, it's not just South Africa, even in Nigeria. So I read the report and I thought, okay, this should be something parents should want to talk about. This should be something young people who intend to at some point be married, have kids, would like to talk about. This is something that affects all of the Nigerian society, specifically given what it used to be a good old 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago. And here we are, what? We're transitioning into a future. We would like to call it modern advancement, where we are separating the old from the new, and it seems as though we can no longer pour new wine into old skin. So if it's old skin, it's old wine. If it's new skin, it has to be new wine. And all of that when we return. Don't go anywhere. My name's Joyce. You're on the sunny side. We're Nigeria Info.
If it's information, then it's notable. Objective.
Subjective.
For time.
With time.
On Wednesdays, we hold it to be worthy of notes.
I agree.
Nigeria Info.
Worthy of note, Rafa Regbeshola, Minister of Interior, has written to the Nigerian Governors Forum to request a meeting in order to decongest jails around the country. This was made known on Tuesday this week. Regbeshola stated that he would meet with state governors to agree on the mass release of at least 30% of convicts from correctional facilities across the country. Well, also worth underscoring would be whether our prisons are indeed correctional facilities. We also have to find out whether, based on experience, and what might be regarded as inside information, do you think our prisons are correctional facilities? Do people go in there and come out a lot better? Do people go in there and come out a whole lot worse? Yeah, that's also a talking point, and I'm furthering this particular report. The minister has said that the interface was necessary as more than 90% of the inmates were being held for contravening various state laws, noting that 70% of the 75,000 plus inmates at present were awaiting trial. He said that the federal offenders in the system were far fewer than 10%, adding that the bulk of the people in custody were those who had run afoul of state laws. He also added that they were therefore being kept under the legal jurisdiction of their representative states. Of their respective states. The minister added that the decongestion of the 253 custodial centers worldwide was necessary, as some of the inmates have no reason to remain in custody. This has been a conversation in the past where many people have reported the illegal detention of Nigerian citizens and how one of the fundamental reasons for the congestion in the prisons would be that the system is not fluid enough, not moving fast enough, and as such people are held even against the law, because it seems as though many of them have not even been tested by the law, tried by the law, proven and found guilty by the law. They're pretty much just in there waiting trial, and some of them don't even have money and hardly can have the advantage or privilege to free legal advice or service, and as such they are there until one day when the sun rises above them. Welcome to the show, 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. The assumption is that this looks like it's coming at the right time. I want to know what you think about it. Worthy of note, 99.3 Nigeria Info, 0700 993 993 993, and 0146571 90. So my guess is you've had a relative who's been there illegally, who's been there longer than was necessary, and as such you have maybe a past experience, painful, maybe just bad or sad. I don't know if this is a relief to you. You probably have someone in there, you know someone in there, you have a report of something happening in there that you think this would certainly bring about a change. A change in maybe how the judicial system works, how the prison system works in collaboration with the judicial system. Do you think they're independent? Do you think they need to work together a whole lot more? Yeah, and it's necessary because the prisons is also a face of the country. Like, think about that for a God-given minute. And I think that we think all the beautiful neighborhoods are just the face of the country. No, everything that's within the country is a face of the country. I'm a face, you're a face. The churches, the mosques, the people, the food, the prisons. I mean, just the same way your Naira is a face. Yeah, so it's a face. Welcome to the show. My name's Joyce. Let's talk. The volume of your radio set. My name's Joyce. Tell us your name. You can go ahead. Make it back. Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, man. It's the Communicator Chukwu.
Thank you for calling.
Sister, I love your introduction. I support Arabia for our prison to be decongested. And see, let me tell you, our prison are not correctional prison. If you see how they sit down like a people when they do short food, if you see how they give them peace, one order and bread. So many of them are legally detained. So I support him by the prison being contested. But I do not support those one who kill somebody, or those who they call somebody else. They must go to that prison. But those illegal detention, let them release them.
Okay.
And see, before United Kingdom should give Nigeria money for his energy, let them wait till May 29. Because if they give us money, they cannot go to jail. Go to jail anyway. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rakur. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Welcome. Good afternoon. What's your name?
Hello.
Afternoon. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Akibe on the line.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard all you have analyzed to us. The primary duty of Ministry of Justice is that the lawyer employed by the government, they are empowered to go to the prison weekly to determine the type of people that are there and who need to be released without bail or without condition. And those who are put at the custody. So I work in the Ministry of Justice before in Plateau State. That is what they were doing. Not until they were they come and engage them for a court law. The purpose of the Ministry of Justice is to attend to little matter that need to be justified without any money paid off for the parental background of the offender. But I believe this day they are not doing so again. Because the purpose of the minister, why government pay them, is that those that are defendless, they can defend them. But they are not doing so now. It means they do not know their priority. They do not know the reason why they are being employed. And many of them are just there boasting their morale. But however, for the Ministry of Decoration, what they call it, Interior, well, I don't know whether that is his duty, but it's a good effort from him.
Thank you.
So this congest the prison on from those who are helpless, unnecessary detention.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. Thank you.
Okay.
Hello, Nigeria Info, you on the sunny side. Welcome. The volume of your radio set.
Hello. Good afternoon, Joyce.
Afternoon. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, my name is Igwe Victor.
Go ahead.
I think he's a nice one. If you look at the amount of people in various prisons across the nation, it's true that anybody who is found guilty of any offense should face the law. But the real issue is how many people are really guilty of those offenses that they were sent to prison? Because in law, they say it's better 100 duty people are allowed to go free than to allow one innocent man to be detained unjustly. So the case is, if you go to various prisons, you will see that a lot of people, the capacity that's supposed to be for like 300 or 400 people, you will see more than 1,000 or 5,000 people in one cell. So the best thing they should do is to make sure that innocent people who are held incommunicado, innocent people who are unjustly detained should be released. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is something people seem rather pleased with. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, my name is Victor.
Welcome, Victor.
So this is my concern. Eh? This is good, but I have some concern about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ordinarily, one would expect that they should find a way to improve on the conditions of the Nigerian prisons. That's one, because this excuse that their condition it doesn't sell it for me. It doesn't, because we are looking at this is on the eve of an election season.
Okay.
Is this really for the purpose for which they have intended it, or is it just for some political intention? I'm just wondering.
Okay.
Because in the past, we've had state governors going into the prison to release people that can help them to win election. Is this government, I'm just wondering, is it that this is another method of winning election?
Okay.
It's just based on asking.
Well, I understand the question and the biases that inform that question. Well, thank you very much.
If we can have a transparent process that will enable us to know that people they are releasing are people that really deserve to be released, then it is welcome. It is really welcome.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, there is also something else that can be revealed by pro bono lawyers or lawyers who have worked in the prisons pro bono. We hear that some firms actually have pro bono services just for the good of the public. And as such, if you have ever been to prisons, you've worked for free, I'd like to get your legal insight as to what is observable from a lawyer's perspective and how this might be good, better, or maybe not so good in your perspective. Welcome to the show, Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce.
Hello, Joyce. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Tell us your name. You can go ahead.
Okay, this is Dr. Smile from Ikota.
Thank you.
So everything boils down to lack of accountability. And that's because Nigerians actually know their rights, and Nigerians don't get justice. Because this work is the work of the Ministry of Justice. If Nigerians are able to start suing, you know, for damages, I believe the government will sit up. And also, even if it's politically motivated, as one of your callers said, those guys that have been there awaiting trial deserve their freedom. Because I've been in that situation, though not personally, but at least someone I know was awaiting trial for 3 years. Wow. I know how devastating that can be. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. 99.3 Nigeria Info. You're on the sunny side. It's worthy of note. Good afternoon to you. Thank you very much for calling. Hello.
Hello, John.
The volume of your God-given radio set. Turn off your radio, please.
Please, give me a minute.
Have you done it?
Hello? Yeah. I think I have been in prison before, but I'm not a prisoner.
What did you go in for?
Yeah?
What did you go in for?
Okay. We just went as a group.
To visit? Okay.
To visit the prisoners. So I think the most important thing we're supposed to talk about is awareness. Because people don't even know what to carry them and go to the prison. Some people don't know. If I do this thing now, it will land me to jail. Discongesting the prisoners is not the issue, but awareness.
Wait, you're saying that people do not know what is against a state law or a federal law?
Most people, yes.
Is that what you found? That's what you found in the prisons?
I mean, from illiterates.
Yeah, is that what you discovered in the prisons?
Okay, what I discovered.
Yeah, I mean, how did you get this? How did you arrive at the possibility that people don't know what's illegal or what's legal?
Okay, let me tell you. When after the visit, there was a particular guy, and I don't want to mention his name. So when he was released like this week. Next week, there was an attack. I was attacked. He was the first one, he's the first person that attacked off our vehicle. I saw him because I knew him. When I went there, I knew him. So he was in the Okada. He was attacking us inside our motor, and he took some briefcase from somebody and entered the Okada and ran away. So this staying there doesn't change them. It will even make them to get worse.
So are you saying that someone stole from the vehicle you were in and doesn't know that that's against the state?
No, what I mean is that punishing them, as in the punishment that they're receiving there doesn't change them.
Thank you.
It makes them to the worst.
Okay.
I don't know whether there's another thing that the government will use.
Okay.
Or when they are there, maybe they will train them more.
Okay.
About, I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's also a problem. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. So the idea of a correctional facility is pretty much basically to correct. And at least from the last caller, she's saying that, well, she actually said two things, and I think we'll just settle for the latter, which is that they go into prisons, come out, and do exactly the same thing that probably took them in the first place. Hello, Nigeria Info. Tell us your name. Remember, please, turn up the volume of your radio set or have to disconnect the moment you're 5 seconds and still haven't turned off your radio. Hello. How are you? Can you hear us? Can you speak closer to your mouthpiece?
No. Enjoy.
I'm sorry. You're far. You're far away. Hello?
Please, can you tell me
now? I can. So there's something wrong with the connection. Your voice is rather low. I'm going to ask you to please hang up and call back, okay?
All right.
Please, thank you. The sunny side, good afternoon to you. We're talking prisons and the intent to decongest it by 30%. Make it back, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hello, Joyce.
Afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. Yes. There's an information I want to share with you concerning this prison issue.
Okay.
There's these people that is... Started with the responsibility of giving in the parastata that is started with the responsibility of Ministry of Statistics giving out money to the prisoner warders for their food. Are you with me?
I'm listening.
This guy demands for huge sums of amount of money. For any that will be given 1 million, he will demand for 300,000. And that has negative effect on the food of the feeding of the inmates. Hello? Hello?
We're listening. I don't want to interrupt you. Can't I just listen?
So there are quite a lot of government should look into. Like the last caller said that, okay, it's not a real correctional center. Their feeding is not okay. Their habitation is not okay. What do you expect?
Okay.
It's not about the congestion. Hello?
You think it was better that the government is more concerned with rehabilitating them and the state of the prisons than should be with trying to decongest the prisons?
Yeah, it should be. So that when those issues are tackled first, when those issues are corrected, then you can talk about the congestion. But there are, you look into those that are really need to be, those that really need to be set free. Because there are some hardened criminals there, you allow them to come back into the society, they don't feel the impact of their punitive measures, they continue to unleash mayhem on the society again. Thank you.
Okay. Lagos, Nigeria. So it seems as though this conversation is split right in the middle. Some are saying, as wonderful as the idea might appear, it's not necessarily the best approach to dealing with the situations in the prisons. Some say the welfare of the prisons is a far greater responsibility and concern. And as such, the government should concern themselves with that more than they should with decongesting the prison. So I guess this becomes a debate, what you stand for, what you think is better, what side of the arguments you would uphold when we return. Don't go anywhere. My name's Joyce. You're on the sunny side. We're 99.3. This is Nigeria Info. Right, so we're right back into the conversation. If you have done pro bono service provided to anyone within the prison walls, I'd like to hear what, from your legal perspective, is an advantage, a disadvantage, or say maybe the core of the problem. Now, I know that one advantage of pro bono services for the state is that it actually does help to decongest the prisons, but still, we're having our prisons filled to capacity. Then it would mean that the pro bono services are not working as much or as efficiently. So let's find out whether, as a pro bono lawyer, at any point of your career, something hits you and then you realize the problem is bigger than we all know. Other than that, well, we're talking about decongesting the prisons. And some callers have said that, well, maybe the welfare of prisoners is a whole lot better and a conversation that should be elevated beyond, you know, radio conversation, that the government should take it a whole lot more seriously. That over decongesting the prisons. So let's find out what your stand is on the sunny side. My name's Joyce. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello, welcome. Good afternoon to you.
My name is Joshua.
Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah. Ma, please, I don't want to contribute in what you are saying. I just want to ask you something.
What is your question?
Yeah, I want to know, you know, before, they used to do OKS in Nigeria Info. That is where they lay complaint and everything. So I don't know the particular program that we can lay our complaint.
I think they're still there Sunday evenings. I'm yet to probably confirm that.
What?
Sunday nights. Check out Radio Sunday night.
They stopped. That is why I don't know if there's another one.
Okay, then if you haven't noticed it, then it's not back yet. So probably would be back at a later time. Then it's not.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. If you have just tuned in, it's good to have you be a part of the conversation. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, Joyce. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much for calling. What's your name? What are you calling for?
I'm calling from Ontario, Canada. Name is Osas.
Welcome, Osas.
Quick question. Are they planning to release the white collar, for white collar offense, blue collar or petty criminals, or those yet to face trial?
Well, those who are not necessarily guilty, I believe. You know how it is where you go through the records and then you realize, well, we have those who are probably just guilty of state crimes and not necessarily federal crimes. And so you get them out because maybe their offenses are not so grievous after all.
Okay. I think that's a good move. But I also have a quick question also to ask. Since the country is currently in short of forex, why don't they consider commercializing the prison unit itself in such a way that, okay, it doesn't drain the system, it's self-sufficient, at the same time also contributing to the economy where
so
they have
work?
The arms.
How does that
work? Well, this is the way it works. Everyone, prior to going to prison, they provide one or two services where they sustain themselves. When they are in prison, rather than just sitting and draining resources from the city or from the state itself, they go to farm where you're given you're paid certain amount of money for working in the farm, and you're paid. Maybe they have a shoe factory within the prison where you work. Or generally, like in the U.S., I think it's common most in the U.S., where they have farms, they have stone-breaking companies, they have different kind of vocations where you actually practice and you get paid, and you can spend the money within the prison, and also you can still take it out of the prison.
Yeah, there are some prisons. Well, there are some prisons that we know that pretty much have that sort of programs. I know that we hear that the Koyi one, that some of the prisoners actually work on farms, but we don't know how far reaching such a vocation actually goes as when we compare it to other states.
Because I believe that's like a hole that at least the country can make money, because most of them just sit in there, they don't exercise, they don't do anything.
Yeah.
You basically just see them sitting by, and at the end of the day, every single day, they get fed for free. It's like, okay, they're taking money out of the system by committing crime, then at the end of the day, you still contribute to that by also feeding them for free without them having to do anything for it.
Yeah,
they have to. I think that system has to be changed anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. Thank you. And that's also a very good idea. So it seems as though it's probably something that the government might need to take a whole lot more seriously. I remember that in, for example, in Venice. There's a factory there that's pretty every staff in that factory is a prisoner, and they manufacture cosmetic goods for the 5-star hotels, and I think it's just wonderful. So they work the farms and then also work in the cosmetic the cosmetic company. Every staff member there is from the prisons. And it's interesting that the cosmetic industry also gives certification to... You go through a training and then you work. And after a set period, the prisons actually... The factory gives you certificate. So they say it's one way of helping prisoners so that once they get back into society, they can actually use that certificate and go get jobs to make their lives better. They say that they're trying to give prisoners a second chance. And I found that very interesting because they're making cosmetic product for 5-star hotels. And I'm thinking, okay, so there's a way that the prison can be used to be a part of the revenue system of society. At least that's exactly what I found in Venice. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Decongesting the prisons. Some of you quite agree that it's a fantastic idea, except you think the welfare of prisoners is a far deeper concern. Let's find out what you have to say. Let's talk. My name's Joyce. It's good to have you here. Welcome. The volume of your radio set. What's your name?
Good afternoon, Joyce.
Welcome. Tell us your name. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Good afternoon to you.
Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, yeah. Hello. Good afternoon, Yvonne. This is Shego from Ledling, Gaza.
My name is Joyce.
You're welcome. Oh, sorry, Joy.
Joyce.
I want to contribute to the discussion.
Go ahead.
As you're discussing the prison, I guess the good ideas for us, if you can see the way on how to make sure that the prisoner also is possible in trying to be like commercializing it. Just like the last class just said.
Okay.
You know, in some situation like that, we may wanted to do corrections, right? But are we doing it the proper way? I get that aspect has to do with correction too. When you make them to be involved in certain things, and at the end of the day, when they get out of the prison, they can be able to continue with that. You know, that's for me, as they get that the part of correction, we should also be looking at. And that should be under prison restructuring. I guess it will be better that way too.
Okay.
If all the right. Government can look at that angle.
Okay. Well, that's a good one. Thank you. Thank you very much for calling. We have Toy Kumor from Washington, D.C. He says, Abuja prison break. Congratulations to the... What do you mean Abuja prison break? Congratulations to them. You believe that most of them are most likely innocent. By the way, before you start congratulating them, the government is saying that they'll get back all escapees. In their words, they can run, but they cannot hide. So I'm wondering which ones you're congratulating. Well, so you have a further statement saying that you think the criminal politician should also be put in prison for, you know, what might be regarded by the state as illegal acts, either against the state or against the nation. Well, thank you very much for your message. Hello. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Joyce. Ah. Are you hearing me now?
Well, it's not too good. You have to speak closer to your mouthpiece. And I'm hoping that
Thank
this
you.
Is...
I...
Okay. Let's try.
Are you hearing me now?
Your voice is so faint. Believe me.
Can I manage it?
Okay, let's try. We can manage it. Go ahead.
All right. I've heard your topic and it's a welcome idea. But the point is that there are clashes of offense.
Clashes of what?
There are clashes of offense.
Okay, clashes of offense. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, civil offense, felony offense, and misdemeanor. And the point is that if we don't have profile crime, criminals are being congested together. So, by the time the people go to the prison or the correction center to release these people, they will check the degree of their offense.
Exactly.
To know what, whether they are to go to the court and to release them or to be punished on the issue of their crime. They can't, like the case of murder, case of manslaughter, and the case of assault, they are not the same.
Oh, of course.
Another thing they should do is that some of them are waiting trial for how many years? Maybe that offense is supposed to take 3 or 4 years. If they have stayed there more than 3 years, they should release them, discharge them, and acquit them.
Okay.
And that's my contribution.
Thank you very much. Quite a number of you are rather skeptical as to the timing this is happening. Bobby says, well, it's a good thing, except it should be done after elections. What's wrong with doing it now, particularly if you're getting people who might have overstayed prison time, those who have not faced a charge by a court, those who are waiting trial, and those who maybe could have pretty much been done and dusted with the prisons, except there's no lawyer to help them bring them before the court. So what's wrong with the timing? Why is there a suspicion about the timing? Many of you suppose that, well, if it's happening now, it's probably up. The reason is probably bad. Is it? Welcome to the show. Make it back. Hi, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Yeah.
Good afternoon. Thank you for calling.
It's a good idea. My name is Emeka, calling from Amor Dolphin.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea to evaluate all the people that have been in that prison. Those people that don't have a stringent offense should be released. And if they could give them a concession for them to, I don't know whether some of them even have voters card, because it's their entitlement to partake in the election. So if you are looking at it from the other side, that they might be used as a tool to destabilize the election, you should also consider their civil rights too. They are human beings. And again, so a lot of people have said so many beautiful things about how to restructure the prison, you know. And my own thought, there's one Chinese construction company in Lagos, I don't want to mention their name.
Okay.
I heard from the right source that about 70-80% of the workers there are Chinese prisoners. They bring them here into Lagos, accommodate them in a container, because there's no how you would put the qualified civil engineers in a container. And they pay them peanuts, and from that peanut, they also pay tax and repatriate it to China government. You know, so our government can also look into this angle. And that's why that construction company, their labor cost is cheaper than one of the biggest construction company we know their name, that's that we be, you know. So these are the things we need to begin to exploit, so look at. It will help us a lot to go a long way in this country. Thank you.
Oh, wow. That's a wild idea, though. Wait. Particularly that container thing, man. It's like you take a man out of the prisons and put him in a container. Well, I think I know what you mean. Kind of make shape-shift it from, you know, a good old metal frame to what might appear to be housing units where you can accommodate. Wait, are you sure about the whole prison thing? good. It's amazing what's happening in this country, and you know, we know nothing of it. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Hello, good afternoon. I love your program. I'm chatting from Apapa. My area was raided last 2 weeks, and so many bystanders or passerbys were being taken and asked to bail themselves with 150,000 naira or will be moved to prison. It's been 2 weeks now, and those guys are being held till date. These are reasons that got the prisons congested with. So, yeah, I think this is something that happens in society, and it's actually just gone on unchecked, where a van will just drive by, stop there, and just pack a bunch of guys sitting the night out, put them in a van, take them to prisons, and then you wake up in the morning, you can't find your neighbor or your brothers, and then they come back telling you how they build themselves with 5K, 10K, 20K, and here I'm having that passerbys were pretty much just picked up off the street for absolutely no reason and asked to build themselves with 150,000. According to him, it's been 2 weeks. Wow, the things that happen here. So, the people who have interfaced with the prisons, I would honestly love it to speak to a pro bono lawyer, except that the whole pro bono system, there isn't any pro bono chamber that I know of. So maybe as a goodwill gesture, with a civil service, a service for community, your company, law firm, or you as a personal offer have given free service to prisons, and I want to find out what you have experienced from that singular move. Hello, Nigeria Info. Make it back 0700 993 993 993. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joyce. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome. Yeah. The volume of your radio set.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can. Turn
okay.
up your radio.
Can I? Yeah, I moved away from there.
I don't know if it's enough. You have to turn it off because it's feedback.
But now?
Hello?
You okay now? Sorry. Can I speak on this climate change?
No, you can't. I'm sorry. Not today.
Not today. Okay. All right. Thanks.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Hello. Good afternoon to you. Make it back. The sunny side. Good afternoon. How are you? Sorry, I lost you. Make it back. The sunny side, Nigeria Info. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling.
No, this is Celine calling from Apapa.
Celine, thank you for calling. Turn off the volume of your radio set. You have to turn it off.
Yeah, I'm ready. It is my food I started. I see, Joyce, my church has been a happy hand to many prison, those in prison when we do prison visitation. And you'll be shocked when you listen to these people. Some, ordinarily, we are just walking on their own. We are already dead. And before you know it, charges was brought upon them. And they are like, how? How did I get here? Some of people in prison are waiting trials for 15 years. And they do not have a single lawyer. Nobody takes them to court. On a daily basis, they sit and wish that they are taken to court. I have a case now that a friend shared with me that I'm struggling to find a fund to help. He said during their days, last year they were playing football and in all the streets and fight a road and somebody was broken head. And police came and arrested some people, some ran away. That this is like 2 years now that the guy has been in prison. The guy they caught has been in prison. And everybody disappeared, and their parents have been going up and down. He said, before you know, police brought a lot of guns before the guy and put it in front of the guy that they found this gun on the guy. And the friends who are outside are afraid to come up to speak because they were actually playing football when the fight erupted. This country, we joke too much, and there is nothing we take serious. If you find yourself in prison yard and you listen to stories, you'd be amazed in this country that all of us is moving freely as if nothing is happening.
Wow.
You know? And you'd be amazed that somebody stole my gear of 10 naira. The person is in prison. Somebody, my neighbor's phone fell from my hand and we are taken to police station. Next police took me to court and I wasn't granted bail to go. And here I am. Stories that ordinary police will solve. But because they don't want to do their job, they quickly tie the person to court. And court, you know, court sitting now. Okay, your case has been adjourned in the next 2 months.
Mm.
That's how the guy... Some they won't give them option of bail. And if they give you bail of 100,000, you do not have it anywhere. As the court closes, you are headed into Black Maria. You find yourself in prison. That's how most of those people get to prison. Most of them do not have a tangible reason to be in prison. But because we have a society where nobody cares, there's no office you go, you make a complaint, and you get justice immediately. No. Some, even when they claim that it's a free office, you go there, you pay dearly, and you still not get justice. I have a case that I'm handling now. It's still the same, child abuse and molestation and all of that. I've paid money for a lot of things, but I still did not get justice. They keep moving the case left and right and other. If you're involved in prison work, maybe your church does prison visitation to help, you find out that a lot of talent are in prison lavishing without notice.
Are you doing this service in collaboration with a lawyer? Is a lawyer also on your team who's helping to interview?
We have a lawyer, but the lawyer is constantly busy. So we too, who is coming from other discipline, we are trying to marry ourselves into the sittings. You know, what happened when you go to court? How do you defend this person? Automatically, we have become a one-sided lawyer.
Yeah, but can you can't stand before a court and defend the person if you're not an actual lawyer. So you actually do need a lawyer. Do you not think so?
Yeah.
If your lawyer is busy, so either you get another...
There are some people who stand in court because their lawyer has tutored them. We have lawyers who go to court. And then are they lawyers? Have you gone to court? They are just secondary school. Some of them just learn it.
It's a different thing if you're defending you, if you're standing to defend yourself, or if the person is fake. Which one are you saying here?
If you have a lawyer that has prepared the proceedings,
you can go and defend yourself.
No, not me. I mean, we. It's not my case. I say that is attached to a church that is in work of mercy trying to release those people. We have a lawyer that have, you
prepare
know,
the case also, here. Yes, then you go and stand before a judge.
Yes.
Oh.
The lawyer is absential because he has to attend to others, and he has asked me to stand here to answer this question.
You a non-lawyer. Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me? That you know there are people in court that are lawyers roaming around the court that are not normal lawyers. That all they do, they have learned from one lawyer sitting in one chamber and go and defend their case in court.
Is a church aware?
Once you come, they say, "Who are you? You are coming from this chamber. This is why you are here," and all of that. Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
It doesn't change anything. Nigeria, anything goes. So, okay. But in all of this discussion, the area where I want you people to look at it is that we should get a place that is designated for a minor case, that within 2-3 days the person will be tutored. You know, if the person needs to be corrected, you correct the person. If the person needs to pay a little fine for doing this against the constitution of a country, the person will just pay and go home for rehabilitation.
Thank you.
Other than putting people... you fought in the market, you broke somebody's eye while you are fighting. Somebody say you stole a book in the school. Oh, my neighbor and my neighbor fought, and the child fell from you. The person is in prison.
Yeah, just
all of this is not
crying.
A prison offense.
All right, thank you.
It's just for corrections.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate the sunny side. Hello, good afternoon. It's good to have you here.
Hello, good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling.
This is Simu Igwe from Badag.
Thank you for calling.
All right. I also want to draw your attention to the people that were arrested during the NSAS protest.
Yeah.
You know that most of those guys are still in prison up to today for doing nothing. So this is what we're talking about. Accumulation of prisoners for doing, that is, like putting people into the prison for doing nothing. Some of those guys are still there up to today. Because the last time they had this NSAS memorial stuff, somebody brought that up. And you know, in Nigeria, when you bring up an issue, we talk about it, you know, glow over it in 2 days, and we forget about it. Nobody cares to talk about. There are so many of them that their people doesn't know they are still in prison. So I just want to able to know that there are a lot of things going on in Nigerian prison that the outside world doesn't know. Only when you have somebody who have come from there with an experience to tell you, then you know that we do not have government. Thank you, Joyce.
Thank you very much for calling. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. The Minister of Interior, Ralph Aragbesola, is insisting that there needs to be a decongestion of the prisons, at least to a solid degree of 30%, because many of the crimes for which people are behind bars are just simple state crimes and not necessarily federal. And for that reason, they probably need to be revisited as a case and maybe discharged fairly. 99.3 Nigeria Info, and then the conversation around what you think about the decongestion of prisons and how you feel about this development is really what's on our plate this afternoon. And many of you suppose that the welfare of prisons is a bigger concern. You feel like the government is not even doing enough, and you wonder why they would ignore welfare, given that sometimes when people even go into prisons for something that they actually did, by the time they're out, they're even worse. We're off on a break. We'll be right back. My name's Joyce. You're on the sunny side. Nigeria Info, the sunny side. It's so good to have you with us. My name's Joyce. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. And if you have just tuned in, well, you're right on time for our second conversation. This should pretty much just go on for, say, about an hour thereabout, depending on what happens on the sunny side. My name's Joyce. Okay, remember, at 2:30, Desmond's going to be here. So here is a time for language and interpretation where there is, say, what might be either verbal or a nonverbal form of language, and then we try to interpret what that would mean in society, particularly from your perspective. All right, so there was the benefit, I would say. It's assumed that there, at this point, yeah, I guess it's now an assumption, that there is some benefit to corporal punishment. And what that also means is that maybe if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. But we have come through different generations of where the rod wasn't spared so that the child doesn't spoil. And what that has done maybe would be has revealed an aspect of human psychology to observers of child psychology or societal psychology, and they have emerged with what would be a kind of way to manage what has developed from corporal punishment. It's in the news that the Commissioner for Education in Lagos, Mrs. Folashade Adefisayo, did say that the government has put a stop to all forms of corporal punishment in public schools. Now, this pretty much was a publication sometime earlier on this year. And it's interesting to know that the government is observing child psychology and how punishment, particularly physical forms of punishment, make the child, in their view, aggressive, future drug abusers, and stubborn in life. She said, in society, corporal punishment is used to train, discipline, and correct misbehaviors amongst children. And then she references the scientific proof of what that eventually becomes. She says, scientifically, using corporal punishment, such as flogging or beating, is not an effective way to correct children because it makes them, as I said earlier on, aggressive, drug abusers, and or stubborn in life. So you have a situation where as society becomes a little bit more modern and what was once wrong is now through a different purview assumed to be right or can be accepted, you know, can be tolerated, you know, different, maybe not necessarily right. It's just now more tolerant. Society is a little bit more tolerant of some of the things that were once frowned upon. You even have some countries making it, like practically banning it. So I did reference one, and that would, for example, be South Africa, where they prohibit all corporal punishment. In fact, they say it is a form of violence against children. And in 2019, the Constitutional Court of South Africa ruled that the common law defense of reasonable and moderate chastisement was unconstitutional, and effectively banning all corporal punishment of children. Now, that's South Africa, right? But even in Nigeria, it's a conversation that's highly sustained. And so, and I think for Nigeria, it's quite interesting because in Nigeria, say a good old 10 years ago, 20 years ago, corporal punishment is a fundamental part of what the African parent believe was a corrective measure to fix a problem. And so in 2022, we have the Nigerian representative, the Commissioner for Education, saying that it's been evaluated and now they're extending their reasoning to scientific research and they would like to tilt towards what science has shown. Yeah, what science has shown. I don't know if we can say that this is a scientific proof of a sort, because that's also subject to debate. I would say, for example, science might have a point, but there is also a case to be made for you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And some children, if you don't physically, you know, go at them, then they suppose that they can get away with it. And children, even at the very age of 3, can be rather deceptive. They seem to read your emotions and then they really know how to manipulate it. If you've ever lived around little children or you have one yourself, if you pay close attention, there are some kids who are very manipulative. Like they know, for example, if they cry, you'll carry them, like something as good as that. They know, and they know it at 2, they know it at 3, they know it at 1. And I've heard parents say, if she cries or if he cries, leave the child, just leave them alone. So they kind of get used to it psychologically. And there's much about children and how children adapt to society at a very young age that maybe one or group of persons would say corporal punishment is necessary. So all of this is to say that in Nigeria now that conversation has arisen, and I want to find out how parents would react to this. If you would like to have children, do you support this thing about corporal punishments at schools? I've even I heard parents go to school teachers and physically also assault them for what is now said to be an assault on the child. So 0700 993 993 993 01465 7190. Let's talk a corporal punishment. Now, there is a necessity to extend the argument scientifically but also personally, because it's what you believe is necessary to the raising of your own child. Let's see what we can do with this conversation between now and 2:30. My name's Joyce, we're Nigeria Info. Make it back. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. I greet to you for this topic. The program is so good, but I want to press to scrutinize, monitor, because I don't trust these religious extremist politicians. Huh? No, we're talking about something else now. Corporal punishment. Do you support this advancement? This is a form of advancement, an expression of modern culture, the removal or maybe even the banning of corporal punishments. Hello, good afternoon to you. How are you? Hello? 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Hello, good afternoon to you. Thank you for calling. And do me a favor, when you call in, please turn off the volume of your radio set. I have a message here. Hello, Joyce. Good afternoon to you. To be honest with you, Joyce, I am that parent that would not have my child bitten. I do not know whether there is any scientific proof to that, but I do not like seeing my children hurt. Shola, thank you very much for your message. Okay, so we have a case for why she doesn't like her children bitten up, because she doesn't want to see them hurt. So, hello. The volume of your radio set. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, my name is Mike.
Welcome, Mike. Thank you. Go ahead.
Please, I want to ask you a question. I think, but why do you have children?
That's not the topic. I would like to stick to the topic. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the sunny side. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Welcome. It's good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
My name is Jonathan.
Welcome. Go ahead.
All right. Capital punishment to me is
corporal punishment.
I will not say.
Hold on a second. No, the flogging of children. You can just stick to that. It's not capital punishment.
Okay. Flogging of children is not bad. It's not bad at all.
So science says, there's an argument that science makes. They say that it makes them drug addicts, aggressive.
It's a lie. Big lie. Sorry, I'm a teacher. I'm into private classes. So there's a child I'm teaching here. I noticed that he said his short is rude, totally rude. Whenever I tell the mommy, see you, your son is like, hey, don't worry, you know, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I say, okay. And she used to see everything the way the boy is very lazy. He cannot not think. Sometimes I will just ask him, like, let me just do and go. Because the boy is very lazy, very, very lazy. So to me, when you flog a child, it will help that child to at least to calm himself and to be disciplined also.
Hold on a second. How long have you been a teacher?
Like 3 years now.
What age group do you teach?
Basic classes, generally.
So that would be what age bracket?
Like from age, basic four, yeah, basic four.
Okay,
age,
so eight, nine, ten.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
are there children whom just speaking to them, they are orderly? If you just spoke to them nicely, they'll correct themselves?
Yeah, there are some that once you talk to them, they'll correct themselves. Why there are some? If you tell them, like, okay, don't do this, they will still repeat that same thing. They will repeat that same thing. Once you shout at them or you flog them, then that is when they will correct themselves.
And you think that science is lying, basically.
It's a big lie.
Oh, thank you.
It's a big lie, I'm telling you.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate it. Now, it's not often you hear someone say science is lying. Now, many people have a case for or against science, but I think today would prove something. And what a good day it is, then. It's Language and Interpretations on the Sunny Side. My name's Joyce. Welcome to the show. Hello, how are you? Nigeria Info, my name's Joyce. What's your name? Make it back, the Sunny Side. Good afternoon to you, Corporal Punishment. Make it back, the Sunny Side. Hello, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, John, good afternoon.
Afternoon to you. Thank you for calling.
My name is Nenwa.
Okay.
It seems as if you believe in our scientists.
Are you asking me or are you telling me?
What I'm saying is that, you know, that there are so many proofs that scientists prove to us that now they are not, it's no longer in the system. Like Atom. Are you hearing me?
No. I'm so sorry. It's too noisy. I sincerely have to let you go. It's too noisy. Your background, the Sunny Side. I would hope you would find a quieter space and please call back. Nigeria Info. You're on the Sunny Side. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joyce. My name is Peter.
Welcome, Peter.
Yeah, pleased to talk with you today. So the topic of discussion is of interest. The question we need to ask ourselves basically is, in the standard climes, let me use that word, or the developed climes that we all try to imitate, the US and those places, where children are not speaking, where you don't impose those corporal punishments in schools and those kids. Are those kids not doing well? Can we really say that it's because they are beaten, that is why they behave the way they behave?
So I'm the one asking the questions here, and I've asked the question that you have just boycotted. The question is, science believes that if you flog a child, that the child becomes aggressive, a drug abuser, and stubborn in life. They pretty much summarize that the outcomes are negative. By one who has agency and observation, do you think that's correct?
Yes, I'm not a scientist, and you know, science would not lie. They would have used some empirical evidence to arrive at that conclusion. However, talking from experience, for example, I was so beaten in school because I couldn't pass maths, for example, but I was good in other subjects. But the teacher kept flogging me, thinking that by so doing, I would be good in maths. He told me I can't solve maths. So this has been so abused in our environment. And then what we do with flogging children most of the time is that we cow them. And that is why you see the level of creativity, in my view, that comes out from these other places. Because we intimidate these kids. And then I think there is need to do away with this corporal punishment thing.
All right.
And let us talk to our kids as dignified human beings that they are.
Thank you. I'm sorry, your line isn't its best, but I think I've gotten the gist of your contribution. Thank you, Michael.
Hello?
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Joyce. This is Marco from FaceTag.
Thank you.
My opinion is that corporal punishment is important, but the way you dispense the punishment is also important. If you are correcting a child by giving him some kind of smacking or whatever, the way if you do it with some element of wickedness, you know, in quote, the guy knows. So it's better when you're correcting a child. Don't correct that child, from my experience, don't correct a child when you are angry. When you are angry,
you tend to do it to the level that the child will be evaluating whatever you are doing, no more as a corrective something, but that you are inflicting some kind of violence. But if you cool down, then you explain to the child there's a consequence for this thing you've done. So you are going to cane you. He knows.
Okay, so I must put the question again to you. So scientists are saying that the outcomes of corporal punishments are largely negative. Do you support that?
No, it's not. Depending on the society, because every child is prepared to is groomed.
It is not dependent on society. It's dependent on psychology, human psychology.
No, what I'm saying, African society, the psychology of African society is different from Western society. You are being groomed. So in America, there are opportunities. If you miss your way, you can still find your way back.
That's not a fact. How does that have a bearing on corporal punishment?
No, it has. It has, because if you don't correct a child, if he goes the wrong way, there's always a chance that it will somehow creep
really?
Back.
Really?
Yeah, but here, if you don't correct a child and he misses a way, there may be no. He might just go.
This is
and
wild.
And again, over there, where the child is not corrected easily. Or pampered. You see, how many people in America? America has the highest number of youth prisoners, take all over the world.
Well, thank you
and
very
it
much.
Long.
So you think scientists are right, then?
It's neither here nor there. Do you understand? Wow. You just correct, but correct with love. Don't correct with act of violence. That's
thank
it.
You very yeah, much for calling.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess this pretty much just opens us up to scrutinizing what scientists have revealed by way of what they believe are the outcomes of corporal punishments. On language and interpretation, then one is forced to inspect science and scientific research on what they believe to be corporal punishment. So I'm going to quickly go off on a break. I think I have a little glitch here. I'm going to go off on a break. When we come back, the conversation will continue. We're Nigeria Info.
If it's information, then it's notable. Objective.
Subjective.
For time.
With time.
On Wednesdays, we hold it to be worthy of notes.
I agree.
Nigeria Info.
It is 99.3 Nigeria Info. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. So I guess with the turn of the century, we'll say has emerged what might be changes to life patterns, thought patterns, human observation in exchange for scientific research. Over the past two decades, there's been what would be an international shift in perspective concerning physical punishment of children. Now, there are quite a number researchers showing an association between physical punishment and negative developmental outcomes, and all of this is said to be accumulative over a period. And for this reason, the Convention on the Rights of Child has just been adopted by the General Assembly of the United Nations. So this is coming from, will I say, the top? And I use that loosely. I don't say the top as a statement of fact. I say the top as a statement of influence. How you want money, you go to the top, right? You want soldiers to come fight your war, you go to the top. You want to pursue climate change, it's got to come from the top. That sort of thing. All right, great. And I think here, on language and interpretations today, we now have a little responsibility, which is one, to look at scientific research and what they say and evaluate the human observation and juxtapose it. There is a temptation to ignore human observation and have it replaced by scientific research. And one must wonder whether one is better than the other, whether scientific research is better than the human observation. And it's necessary because as time goes, the lines between good and bad, right, wrong, what should be done and what shouldn't would be blurred. In fact, if you look close enough, you would see that those lines are being blurred constantly. I'm not making a case for what I'm telling you is right or wrong. I think I'm asking you to tell me what, in your view, is is right or wrong, considering scientific research and your human observation. So this might certainly just be going out to everyone who's lived with children, has children, maybe you're a child yourself. You'll tell me what you think about it. The Sunny Side, 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. Welcome. It's Language and Interpretations on Nigeria Info. Good afternoon to you. Let's try and interpret this one. Good afternoon. What's your name?
Good afternoon, Joyce.
Thank you for calling. Tell us your name. You can go ahead.
Okay, my name is Babajide Komolasa.
Great.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome.
I'm learning the teaching program.
Oh, thank you. For
yeah. The scientific conclusion that corporal punishment leads to drug abuse and others and others. Personally, I do not agree. And the reason why I do not agree with this is because I have seen many people who, tell you that if not for corporal punishment, my life wouldn't have turned where it has turned well. So, in other words, there are also evidences that corporal punishment has helped to produce positive and responsible people. Now, the caveat there is this. The caveat is that too much of anything is bad. Mm. And that also goes for corporal punishment. Corporal punishment is supposed to be done with measure. Measure means you don't use it for all the time. Any little mistake, any distance, you just go ahead and no. You should be using in a very, very all measured right. manner.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
I do appreciate Thank that. You. Thank you very much for calling. This is a test of our collective social awareness, collective social cognition. One thing that you know against another thing that you have been told. So science says that the outcomes of corporal punishment is wrong on the mindset of the child. The outcomes, according to them, is largely negative. And you might have been a product of... Yeah, corporal punishment, which usually is the interaction between you and a parent, you a teacher, and they exert physical pain on you, and it's supposed to inform you in a language that words fail. So let's examine, and I think that's exactly what Language and Interpretations is trying to do today, compare the language and try to interpret it. So here we're trying to interpret scientific research or finding on the fact that corporal punishment has a negative outcome on the human mind. This is a message here from Bassi. He says, kids are manipulative. Corporal punishment should be regarded as discipline and not wickedness, because if the child does something wrong and there is no punishment for that action, the child will grow up to become like our politicians who believe that there is no consequence for their actions. Joyce, corporal punishment has created... has what? Has created that instinct. Oh, has created the instinct in me. Just a second. Instinct in me, in my mind, that if I commit a crime, I will be punished for it. I'm against the abolition of corporal punishment in our society. Thank you very much for your message, Bassi. Good afternoon, Nigeria Info. You're on the Sunny Side.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for calling.
This is Ronaldo speaking.
Thank you.
Well, I'll get to the topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Corporal punishment, well, you know, it's an age-long thing. But the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Of course, in tradition, yeah, in Africa in particular, because we are disciplinarians, we want to, the adult, even the father, the wisdom of an adult, the experience we've had. So when we see a child trying to go astray, well, we have to, by the time you talk to the child and you see that the child is not really getting your points, so make sure this child is set aright. Now we need to solve the corporal punishment from time to time. And
science says it's wrong. So I want you to speak on that, because I think we all, as Africans, we're all a product of a form.
Well, incidentally, the question calling you as a teacher of over
almost to, sorry, going to 3 decades now of teaching.
Wow.
The thing is that as a teacher, yeah, one can say it is wrong.
Is it?
On the premise, it is wrong. Okay. On the premise of the fact that if you're a child, when you have a child is like a teacher is like a sculptor, somebody who we are molding a being. And you are at liberty to mold that child into whatever, giving your experience, giving tools. In modern times, now we have so many tools in which you can use in molding a child appropriately to grow into the desired adult that we want.
Okay.
A person that scolds, that so they scold a child at the point of now beating the child, only shows a lack in part of your technique. Shows a lack in terms of making use of certain resources that could have used to ease the task of raising the child, training the child appropriately. That's why in teachers, because people of science, when someone discovered that, okay, when you are not able to maximize the use of so many things that can use in making the child to understand, to learn, and you now resort to using corporal punishment is a failure on your part.
Okay.
Is an admittance of the fact that you lack knowledge.
In 1 minute, can you, as a teacher, can you tell us what forms of punishments that are non-corporal that help you pass a message across from teacher to student?
Reinforcement. Reinforcement in terms of the negative reinforcement, even the way you talk to the child. When a child does something that is good and you speak positively, praising, encouraging, even using little things that you know the child likes, little rewards.
So you reward them or you restrict reward.
The child to look forward to even learning more.
Yeah,
to cooperating.
So when you say reward, but the thing about that particular psychologically. Okay, I have to be off on a break, but I want to leave you with a question. Maybe you can call me back and give an answer to it. Life doesn't reward us every time that we're good. And so isn't psychologically the concept of rewarding a child every time that they're good and withdrawing reward or not a wrong signal for a developing mind? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, so
I'm
please. Okay, so I'm going
to
go off on a break and come back. Hopefully you actually call me back.
Okay.
Thank you. Lagos, Nigeria, we're off on a break to bring you headlines. Don't go anywhere. We're 99.3. This is Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce. It's Language and Interpretations on the Sunny Side. And so the conversation continues. 99.3 Nigeria Info, the Sunny Side. It's 3 minutes past 2 p.m. You can set your clock by that. I have a message here. We're talking about... Yeah, it's language and interpretation. So what we're trying to do is establish the language, which is scientific proof of corporal punishment and its implications in the human mind. And then I'm subjecting that to your human observation. And that's in hopes that you're not a scientist. And so there are other ways by which you might agree or arrive at a conclusion that is same as science, the scientific resolve or conclusion, or your own personal, independent, differing conclusion that separates itself from that which is scientifically concluded or proven. I have a message here. He says, I believe in moderate use of corporal punishment. However, the scientific finding on corporal punishment is wrong. I have two cousins. I can swear their mother never used cane on them, but they grew up to be drug users because they were overprotected and overprovided for. Many of these are rich parents' kids are drug users because of this nonsense scientific finding. Thank you. I have another message here. Hello, Joyce. I love what you're doing. God bless you. God bless you, too. You say, please, could you discuss the place of inherent good and evil in people individually and how it differs from person to person? He's suggesting a topic here, the inherent good and evil in people individually and how it differs from person to person. In the U.S., there's been thousands of school shooting over time. I guess that may be an effect. Lack of flogging regardless of the type of discipline, I think good and evil eventually determines how we turn out. His name is Darry. That's a good conversation for the Lords of Logic. The inherent place of good and evil. Yeah. I don't know whether it's time for me to admit to you something that I think. I think it. I don't have proof for it, but I think it. And except you can provide proof, then you might not be able to disagree with me. But I'll tell you that tomorrow on the Lords of Logic, but it certainly wouldn't be a conversation just yet. I have thought about this. Let me even tell you today, so you can even start thinking about it now. So I've thought about the fact that human beings, all the humans of the world, are not all from the same root. I think our roots differ. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. It's out of my chest. Yeah, I think we're people from a different root. Yeah. So, yeah. I think that was the first root. And then there was another seed. And then the seed is a new root. And that's different from the... Yeah. Okay, good. Back to the conversation. Language and interpretations. My name's Joyce. So we're talking about the effects of corporal punishment. So thank you very much, Darius. Darius suggests that regardless of the punishment, the good or evil in a person is what determines their outcome. And that's a very good aspect to consider. Nigeria Hello. Info, good afternoon to you.
Okay, good afternoon. Sorry for I was on that. Now, motivation is what I normally use for my own children. I motivate them. I talk to them. This spread the word and score the child. I motivate the child. Most children are having difficulties in mathematics. Now, whenever I motivate them, you have that interest to follow up in that subject. Now, if that child, you give that child a clue, okay, John, do this. You talk to him in a calm voice. You see that the child will follow up. And there are some that you talk, you do this, they will not. Until you have bigger that thing, you see, I'll flog you now. You see, that child will compose himself. And that work, he will do that work very well. So I totally believe that corporal punishment should be used, but not much like that on children. So just,
thank you.
You know, not, that is just it.
Thank you. 99.3 Nigeria Info. If you call me again, I'm going to ask you what course you teach, because at this point, I'm interrogating you.
Hello.
All right. I think you know what to do. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to the show. Tell me your name. You can go ahead.
This is Brother Elisami. I'm calling you from Badagry.
Well, good. Go ahead.
You see, we have still to determine many things in this Africa. I sometimes, when I sit down, I just consider, is there anything like European science and African science?
So on language and interpretations, we're asking for human observations against scientific proof. So you tell me what you think.
Yes. Sister Joyce, what I'm saying is, I was brought up by Irish sisters, and regardless of whether we were visually impaired or not, we were killed when we heard. Do you understand me?
What year was that?
That was as far back as the 60s to the 70s.
So the Irish then, who were your teachers, believed in corporal punishment of a sort?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I tell you that even when we talk about Europeans, I hope we know that they are not of the same temperaments. The temperament of the Scot is not the same thing as the temperament of the British. So don't tell that crap to a Scot or to an Irishman. You will go nowhere, whether you are blue or black or white. Or
okay, so I think you've lived long enough to observe. So let's subject this scientific proof or, say, evaluation to your own personal human observation. You are a product of something and you believe in it. The children you have watched around you, do you suppose that maybe something has happened to the water that we drink and for that reason, maybe corporal punishment is not the best thing now, moving forward?
Maybe what we would say is that I think that that statement or that rendering should be brought within situational ethics.
Okay.
In other words, if you observe the child well enough and you see that the child tends to respond more when the child is deprived or when the child is put in some negative outcome or another, like killing, then you have to apply it.
Okay.
So, but when you see that a child regardless of caning, does not change, then you have to change the whole process.
So then you're saying that the scientific conclusion is therefore wrong because it's more like a corporate rule.
Yes, it should be brought. It can't be a rigid stamping.
So that's wrong then.
The whole society.
So it's wrong.
Some kind of rule.
So it's wrong.
It's not complete. It's not sacrosanct.
You're avoiding the word wrong.
They're wrong as well. Maybe not wrong. It could be right for some issues. That's what I'm saying.
So the problem is they're not subjecting it to any class of issues. They're saying that it is wrong.
It's not. That's their own. It's what
the reason that I think that this situation also. So you see, the way the situation is presented to you is the measure by which you have to respond to it, and I want you to understand that. So if you don't be careful with your words, if the scientific proof says corporal punishment is wrong and I subject something to your interrogation, then you should also, I think I love what you have done so far, but I want a conclusion.
It is they that are wrong. Maybe not the science.
Oh, heaven. Well, thank you very much.
They are wrong. The people putting, because there are different types of science. If you check the science.
Thank you.
There are different types of education. Western education in Nigeria is not sacrosanct.
All right. Thank you.
There are different types of education. What we have in the world is education.
Okay.
Plus S.
Thank
I don't
you.
Want to be Englishized in this matter. I've developed my own type of English for the education. That's what we have in the world.
You're not wrong.
One Thank education
you.
Is one universe. Another education is another universe.
Thank you very much.
You can't stamp your own education on everybody.
Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. So let me tell you what makes this quite rather delicate. It's the fact that usually we're, I think we have come into a world where someone else has been given their office of thinking for people. And in fact, society now is structured in a manner where you have to be thought for. And so we're going to hear something like, for example, someone would say, COVID something something something, and the subject is COVID, and every medium around you imposes a narrative. So yesterday I was on Instagram and they said that they've banned me from something else again. I'm like, wait, I'm hardly even the most controversial person, but you're constantly banning me. So I'm not the problem. My opinion is because it doesn't fit something, and I'm probably rejecting the imposition of something, and for that reason they just threw a ban. I'm like, at this point, this Instagram, I'm willing to hand it right back. But I think that's where we are. So I think today's language and interpretation is interesting because now you're debating science, the one who thinks for you. So we'll find out where this goes. Make it back. My name's Joyce. You're 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's language and interpretations. We're interpreting science here. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Tell us your name. You can go ahead.
Joyce. Alex, my name, Alex. Yeah, most of the callers have said the right thing because I think the science is wrong. Because one, let us take it biblically. Why does it have it in the scripture that it said the foolishness abound in the mind of a child, but the rod straightens him up? I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Science is saying that outcome is negative.
In what way is it negative?
Come on.
The scripture, which is the word of the Almighty, which was written by his servant. Are they trying to say that the word of God is negative?
They're not
what?
Trying to say it. They have said it.
They cannot prove it because it's there. It is written. It is the word of the Almighty.
Someone is also going to say, can you prove that it's the word of the Almighty? So the only escape that you have would be observational science.
And you know what I say? Okay, it's spiritual because if you read the book of Revelation towards the end time, I can't remember the chapter where we have all these kind of beasts, how they torment Christians.
Yeah. So I think that if you said that to a scientist who probably is even an atheist, he would say, well, you can't even prove that that's the word of God. But here we have proven this one. So I think your comeback should be your observation.
Okay.
I'm just, that's just a food for thought. You can do better than that if you can.
But your callers are right, because I want to put it wrong, because that is what the scripture said. And even ideally, if when a child does wrong, it depends on the manner in which you spank that child. That
So you also go with the last caller. Thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate it. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Welcome to the world that could be yours, except it's not. Well, it's not, because someone else is doing the thinking for you. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Science and you. Science versus you. Welcome to Language and Interpretations. What's your name?
Oh, my name is Tolulope.
Welcome, Tolulope. It's good to have you here.
A great job you do here.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have a 5-year-old daughter.
Okay.
She probably called me the most loving father in the world. Because I am loving. My wife is loving. We discipline her. We love her. Today, before she left for school, she probably said, "I love you" to me 20 times. She means it. Like, I've never said, "Tell me I love. Tell me you love me." So there's love in my home. There's so much love. It's palpable. And I rarely ever beat my daughter. You know, I correct her, I explain things to her. But Joyce, there are certain things I don't pass across, except I flog. So I probably flogged her like twice in her lifetime.
And she's five, right?
On those occasions, like twice, yes, she's okay. twice.
Okay.
But I had to flog. You know, I had to flog. She understood how wrong she was because I flogged her. You know, things are, I said, don't do this. Don't do this. I've explained those things to her maybe like 10 times, but she doesn't understand. And then I flog, and then she stops doing those things. So, you know, 5 years, just flogging twice, but though she never goes back to those things that I flogged down. So I think that every child is different. Okay. I think that every situation is different.
Yeah.
I think science is trying to blanket it too much. I mean, that's too wide. People are different, wired in different ways. Relationships are complex. Mm-hmm. So I think science is wrong. I think it's a subjective matter. I think, you know, dealing with a child is art. It's an art form, and there will be subjectivity to it. You know, so, you know, I can't say it's wrong because I spanked my child twice, and the lessons were passed better when I spanked. You know, and I'm loving, I'm caring. I don't spank, but I had to on certain occasions. And, you know, and our relationship is fine. She understands discipline, you know, and there's love. But I have spanked her twice. And on those two occasions, the message was passed across effectively.
You know,
thank you, Joyce.
You're the father who's home. You're home in your mind. You're home in your spirit. You're home, and that's good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So there's a certain brilliance to fathers who are home. Yeah. So whenever you hear me ask you, where's your dad? That's exactly what I mean. Like, where's your dad? Yeah. This father is home. So he's not just paying school fees. He's there. So he's monitoring, he's learning, he's interacting non-verbally and trying to figure out, so what's going to see? He's there. He's home. So you see a girl like that? This world would have to give itself to take her. Like, it would be too much to... Yeah, it will be too much for you to... By the time he's done with her, by the time she's probably 10, yeah, you couldn't chew her easily. And that's exactly what the masculine representation in the mind of a child is meant for. So that was a moment for me. Thank you. Hello. You versus science. Welcome to the conversation. It's Language and Interpretations.
Hi. My name is Fatai.
Good to hear you.
And I have two kids, a boy and a girl.
How old are they?
My son is 4. My daughter is 2.
Which one doesn't hear? Which one is stubborn? Which one is stubborn? Which one is resistant?
My daughter. My daughter is extremely stubborn.
Wow.
Just like me. I'm stubborn.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. So I noticed my daughter very loving, my son very loving. Like, my daughter, sometimes you need to threaten her to want to beat her before she does what you want her to do. Yeah. So what science is saying, I don't agree with, because everybody's different. My son, I hardly beat my son, but my daughter, I've beaten her maybe very few times. I'm very, very into their life. I bath them, cook for them, do everything. I'm going to pick them in school right now.
Oh.
And we actually live in the United States, but we came back here in school here. So I'm very much into
their
life.
Who lives in the States? You or them? Or all of you?
All of us. We live in the States, but I brought them back home to come to school.
So how long are they going to be here for before you take them back again?
Oh, they're here for a good number of time. We go back, or we'll be going back for holidays only.
So wait, so how does this work? What do you think about this as law?
I don't think the law is, I don't agree with science. I don't agree with science, what science is saying at all. Because I live in the United States. I see the impact of you not beating your kids, what it causes. I have friends, white friends, black friends, that they don't agree on spanking their kids. Sometimes they need it.
Okay.
They need it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. Now, this is a very good tester. Look, thanks to the fathers who've called in so far. This is a very good tester. Remember, I think it was a few months ago, I told you I wanted to have a conversation. And I wasn't sure how to theme the question. I wanted to say, I think maybe you versus science will be better. But that day I said, nature versus science. So there's something that's happening here that I've observed in society, is that because someone else is doing the thinking for us, many people relinquish thinking or the power to think. And then when you ask a question, then they say something like, you know, there's scientific proof to that. And they say, science said. And now it seems as though science itself needs to be interrogated. I think so. You might disagree, but we'll find out how that works on language and on Lords of Logic, because too many things now are just on science. So I heard an archaeologist say that he cannot believe the world anymore. Was he even an archaeologist? I think he's just one of these Aboriginal people. And he said that he cannot believe the world that we live in. He said that people refer to science and ignore the things that were written on stone. And God, the statement was so profound, because you know me, I'm always roaming around history, right? So I'm always seeing things on stones. And so when I was in Italy, for example, I can't tell you quite a number of things I saw written on stones, like on walls, things that have been there, they say 2,000 years. They say, in fact, there's a temple that some people who followed Jesus worshipped in, and it's preserved somewhere in Italy. It's like a cave of a sort. And there's inscription, like practically the whole of Italy. I don't know there's anywhere that I thought I've been that doesn't have any Jesus symbolism there. And then the Aboriginal said something like, what are we doing when we refer to this new generation type thinkers and ignore the things written on stone? And then it got me thinking. I'm wondering, we ignore the things written on stone, as a matter of fact. So there are things in history written on stone, but we're not there. Time has moved us away from there, so we're on to other things. And so the conclusions to human existence, the interpretation, the language, the observations are absolutely different. And so even the way that we're compelled to interpret things, like COVID is a phenomenal thing, because you wonder why you want to ask a question and someone bans you for trying to ask a question. It's like, wait, I'm just trying to figure this thing out. Like, am I not even allowed to even figure it out? No, you're not allowed. Welcome to Language and Interpretations. My name's Joyce. Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon, guys.
Good to have you here. Thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Let's interpret science.
Yes, you think science has proven that corporal punishment, I don't know how they come to prove it, because I know God is not a God of confusion. And he is the omniscience. He's the head of all scientists. And so if you have said in his word that you can always use rod, because it is in the heart of children that foolishness are banned. Even for you merely raising up the cane without using it on the child, it can bring a positive result.
Okay. So you don't support the science, therefore?
At all.
And it's wrong. Well, thank you very much for calling. I do appreciate. We're off on a break. We'll be right back. This is 99.3. We're in Nigeria Info. My name's Joyce.